Welcome to Christian News in Focus, brought to you by the Mantua Country Baptist Church. Your host is Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis of news and current events from a biblical worldview. Here with this week's edition of Christian News in Focus is Chris Long.
And welcome to this edition of Christian News in Focus. I am your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. You can learn more about our organization by visiting us at ohioca.org. That's our website, ohioca.org. Well, this past weekend, we had the wonderful opportunity to head to Washington, D.C. to the World War II Memorial and to welcome veterans that were flying in from Columbus, Ohio on the honor flight from Columbus. And these are veterans of World War II, and some Korean veterans were on the flight as well. And we thank them for their service as they were visiting our nation's capital, and specifically the World War II Memorial. Congressman Johnson of Ohio's 6th District, who was a recent guest in this program, also was on the flight as a guest and an escort, actually, of two veterans. And so we got an opportunity to speak with the congressman there. In fact, you can go to our website and see some of the photos from our gathering there and sharing with the veterans, and of course about the D-Day Landing Prayer Act. That is legislation that will add FDR's D-Day Landing Prayer in its entirety at the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. It's H.R. 2175 is the bill number in the House. It is Senate 1044 over in the Senate. Senator Portman introduced it in the Senate, and Congressman Bill Johnson introduced it in the House. Last session, of course, many of you know that it did pass the House by a vote of 386 to 26, and then in the Senate, it moved through committee, had 22 co-sponsors, but then time expired, and now we had to reintroduce it. So we've committed to getting this done, and we've told these veterans that we'll do it, and of course, they say, get it done. So we're going to do it for them, and it would be a great honor to add this wonderful historical presidential prayer there at the World War II Memorial. So you can see the photos of the great veterans that came in. In fact, a number of D-Day veterans were there. One gentleman I spoke to was landed at Utah Beach and then later was wounded in Cherbourg of the deliverance of that French city. And you can see that. In fact, we have notes of the different veterans we met with. One gentleman was in the 82nd Airborne. He actually came in on D-Day that evening on one of the gliders that landed. And he fought with the 82nd there in Normandy as well. I told my son served in the 82nd. He wanted to know a lot about that. But with us on the phone today talking about veterans issues is the assistant director of the Veterans Affairs Office here in the state of Ohio. His name is Jason Dominguez. He has served as the assistant director and chief of staff of the Ohio Department of Veterans Services since February 1st of 2011. Jason himself is a two-time graduate of the Ohio State University with a Bachelor's of Arts in Economics and Master's of Business Administration from the Fisher College of Business. And in 2005, Jason deployed to Ala Anbar province, Iraq, with Lima Company. That's the famous Lima Company that we know here in Ohio, the 3rd Battalion, 25th Marines. While part of Lima Company, he led his Marines through 12 major combat operations and 73 combat and security patrols. During the deployment, of course, as most of us know, 22 Marines of Lima Company and one Navy Corpsman made the ultimate sacrifice, with 59 were awarded the Purple Heart. Well, to talk about Veterans Affairs and issues with us on the phone today is Jason Dominguez, again, the Assistant Director of Veterans Affairs of Ohio. Let's welcome Jason. Jason, welcome.
Hey, thank you, Chris. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Well, absolutely. I want to thank you for your service to our country. And, of course, you know, as time goes on and you look past back at your military service there in Iraq, and, of course, you know, recently on the military channel, they did a whole thing on Fallujah. Now, I think in hindsight, we know and in history that Al-Qaeda and the insurgents were actually inviting fighters from all over the Middle East to engage with U.S. troops, which, of course, were your men right there in street-to-street, house-to-house fighting there in Fallujah. Again, we thank you, and these men went through quite a bit, and you went through with them, of course.
Right, we came in after the second Battle of Fallujah, and all of those insurgents had been pushed out of Fallujah over into the Haditha area, and our job was to continue to keep pushing them across the Syrian border. And we did We had 180 days worth of that, and it definitely was a fight worth fighting.
Well, and we thank you for your service. And, of course, the Lima Company was honored with portraits that were painted by the one artist. And, in fact, the display visited the state capitol a few years ago, and is really a moving portrayal and memorial to those soldiers that made the ultimate sacrifice as part of Lima Company. Where is that right now, the display?
You know, it floats around. I don't know where it is currently right now. It's the last time that I had seen it was a few weeks ago down at the Sergeant David Cruder highway naming ceremony. But, yeah, the Eyes of Freedom project, which is it's been renamed, and also the Lima Company Memorial as well. It's definitely a moving portrait memorial. It's in many ways become kind of a wall for us, just like with the Vietnam veterans. It's become a place where Iraq vets, even that weren't a part of Lima Company, go to and can help make their peace.
Well, that's right, and it's a fitting tribute to those who served us in the Iraq conflict, and you know our. Son served 5 years in the 82nd Airborne in three different deployments in Iraq, two full years, actually, of the three different deployments in Iraq with the 82nd. And, you know, we certainly are thankful that, to have him home in one piece. But many of our veterans returning, they have needs, they have issues. And, of
Absolutely.
Course, as a state, where my time at the Ohio State House, legislators have made sure that we are able to pass meaningful legislation to make sure that these veterans are entitled to their benefits, that they're taken care of when they come back, and that they can get on the fast track to benefit from the GI Bill and some of the other medical services. All of the benefits, of course, that both Congress and the Ohio legislature have passed, we want to make sure that these veterans have opportunity. I know that's what your passion is, and as you're serving us now, Jason, and we're so glad that you are there at the Veterans Affairs Office.
Thank you.
And you've had some great accomplishments, and you've had some great ideas that you and I have talked about over coffee. But I want you to bring our listeners up to date
sure.
What's happening currently, as we're getting a lot of veterans home from both Iraq and Afghanistan. And then, of course, what's the process for these folks reassimilating back into public life?
Absolutely. Well, there is such a great need. I'll just give you just an example. Ohio State University a few years ago had roughly around 800 student vets. And now today they have a little over 2,000, and that number is expected to continue to grow as we draw down from Afghanistan. So with that comes just the vast resources that the GI Bill offers and opportunities that offers. And Ohio, we're so blessed in Ohio to have passed the GI Promise a few years ago that ensures that all Ohio veterans have in-state tuition, so that when they come here, they can use their in-state tuition, they use their money from the GI Bill. And with that, if you have 100% GI Bill, post-9/11 GI Bill, that is an education bought and paid for that you can enjoy. The next step that we have to make sure that we're taking care of is keeping our student veterans here in Ohio after they graduate. So one of the big steps that we've taken to do that, and that Governor Kasich did last week, was the executive order that you may have heard about that deals with boards and commissions and state departments who grant professional licenses. It directs those state departments and boards and commissions to take military education, training, and service into account when they grant professional license. It also says that they must review, revise, and streamline the process of granting professional licenses to veterans to ensure that their training, experience, and service is taken into consideration during this process. It also directs the Chancellor of the Ohio Board of Regents, in collaboration with the presidents of Ohio's public colleges and universities, to review the credit granting process and identify procedures to simplify it in order to grant credit for military education and training. So I think this is a huge step in the right direction for us. It helps to break down some of those barriers that people have when they're coming off of active duty, and make sure that someone who was a corpsman that used to patch people up on the battlefield isn't expected to come home and take first aid in order to become a physician's assistant. I mean, it just makes sense, and I believe we're headed in the right direction.
Well, that's a great issue that you bring up, Jason. I know this is one which you and I talked about over a year ago, and that is, you have these folks serving in the military, whether the Army, the Air Force, the Marine, the Navy, and they have specifications of training already, whether it's in lower levels of engineering or, like you said, in medical.
Right.
Or even a mechanic or electrician. And so they already have traits and abilities. They've already taken schooling, quite honestly, and some of them have language courses that they've
Absolutely.
Taken. And yet when they get back here, it's almost like they're starting from day one, and something's not right with that picture. They've already had a lot of extensive training and education in the classroom in the military. And so what you're talking about is how that translates to credit hours for colleges and universities as part of their majors that they want to take for their degrees. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, that how far along are we? Now, we know the Governor Kasich's working with the Board of Regents, and I know when he puts his mind to something, he's pretty determined about it. And so when he sinks his teeth into something, so that's very encouraging. Where will you say, how would you put us on the progress here?
Sure. Well, under the terms of the executive order, all agencies and institutions must identify any barriers to streamlining licensing and granting credits and report this to the administration by December 31st, 2013, along with any recommendations for reform. So many changes may require state legislation to fully implement, but the governor's executive order formally begins the process and sets the deadlines to accomplish it.
You know, one of the things, too, some of these vets actually had some schooling before they went in. They didn't finish their degree, but they may have taken their first or second year of college, then come back. One of the things we want to see worked on, and I was running this by a couple of legislators, and that is basically when you have basic courses, that there will be a collaborative exchange among state colleges. So if you go to Kent, you take some basic courses for credit. That should translate to Ohio State, to Akron U, or Miami University, anywhere else it's a state college. And because what we're finding out, and of course, my wife and I have eight children, five adult children, so we've seen quite a few institutions. There's a long list of them in which they've attended school and maybe transferred. And then some of the courses, you always hear the complaint of not being transferred. Some basic courses we're talking.
Right.
Yeah. And so, of course, what that does is drive up education costs for
Absolutely.
Families. And, of course, it's no different for veterans in the sense that the GI Bill may be paying for it. But the fact is that it puts them behind where they could be in the process of getting their degree. So I know there's discussion among the Board of Regents among that issue as well. Legislators are talking about maybe even bringing up a piece of legislation that would address that. I think it's a great idea. Obviously great minds think alike. It came across my desk talking to my kids. When I talked to some legislators, they said, the administration's already talking about that from the Board of Regents aspect. Has that been discussed with veterans issues with what you're talking about here? Has that been part of the discussion?
Well, I mean, when it comes to, say, when you take, when you take, say, your writing class at Ohio State, and if that will transfer over to Akron or not, that discussion hasn't taken place with us. I definitely see the value in that. Of course, being a recent student veteran myself, also understanding what it means to have to take out a college, a student loan in order to get your education. And it makes it so that someone who is on a timeline to graduation, that they don't have to repeat things they've already done. Also, they don't have to repay for them, too. And with the student loan debt crisis, as you know, that's looming over our country right now, I think it's definitely a relevant issue that needs to be addressed.
Indeed. Well, let's talk about when these folks get out of the service, and we got some folks that obviously are every day, and of course Ohio has a lot of service personnel that signed up in the last 10 years and are serving. Now they get back and you get your discharge papers. What are those called again?
Your DD-214.
And so what you and I talked about was if you were in the Army, there's one set for the Army, one for the Navy, one for the Air Force, one for the
right.
Marines, probably the Coast Guard. And even you as a veteran, and you're looking over these things, you're saying, this is complicated. This doesn't make any sense. Each set has their own discharge papers. And, of course, that's key because that's their ticket for the GI Bill, for everything of their
right.
veterans benefits. To understand... we on the state side, we've passed legislation, we've cheered it on to make sure that our veterans are taken care of, but sometimes it's obscured from them as to what all their benefits are. Tell us what you're working on to try to streamline that process.
Sure. Well, we have been in talks with the Department of Defense and also the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs about taking that DD-214, that discharge document, and making it an electronic record, and for many reasons, and really even getting away from using the term DD-214 and becoming an electronic service record or a digital service record. And what that would allow us to do, and what that would allow even other federal agencies to do, and those who are going through the TAPS process that are transitioning over to civilian life and looking for a job and trying to match their skills to employers who want to use those skills, is it would allow that discharge document to become something more than a piece of paper. It allowed to become data that folks could use to be able to connect those veterans to areas and the civilian world where they will be needed. And so that's something that's definitely important to us, and also us being able to identify our veterans who are coming back and know that they're coming back. I'll give you a good example. We did this on the state government level with the Ohio National Guard, who recently saw one of their largest deployments in Ohio National Guard history to Afghanistan. And as they were coming home, as they were getting ready to come back home, we were sitting down and talking about workforce issues with the governor's Office of Workforce Transformation. And so here's our office sitting with the DOL vets that's part of the Ohio Department of Job and Family Services, and also sitting down with the Ohio National Guard as well. And we said, DOL vets, you take veterans who just got out of the military and you help connect them to jobs, correct? They said, yes, we do. And they said, Ohio National Guard, you have veterans fill out a health assessment survey as they're coming home to see what their needs are going to be. Will they have a job? Are they going to go to school? What are they going to do? And they said, well, yes, we do. We said, well, what's stopping you, Ohio National Guard, from giving a copy of the health assessment survey to DOL vets over in ODGFS to connect with those vets before they even come back here to the States? I said, well, nothing is. Well, let's do it. So out of that, Battlefront, the home front, was born, and that got us thinking a lot about things on the national level about, well, what if we could identify veterans who are getting off of active duty, that were serving on active duty outside of the United States, and even outside of Ohio, to connect them to benefits before they even came back, and to try to get that information as they're going through the TAPS GPS program, and say, well, okay, you want to go to school? Well, here's some of the things that we can offer you in Ohio, like in-state tuition. Are you a welder and you want to get a job? Well, that's exciting because we have things booming here with the shale industry and oil and natural gas industry, and we have a great need for those jobs. So connecting those vets to the benefits as they're getting out, not after they came home and have to have that lag in services.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here. We're speaking with Jason Dominguez, who is the Assistant Director and Chief of Staff of the Ohio Department of Veterans Services, and we'll be right back after this message. Don't go away.
I'll never forget that moment.
Never forget that moment.
As long as I live. It started with a phone call.
I got the text when I was at work.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard. This was it, the real deal.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires, how they were getting dangerously close to homes.
It was amazing to be a part of this massive operation. Helicopters were going up with huge buckets to drop water on the fires.
Some of the guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
We went out in Humvees to help with the evacuations.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com. Discover what it means to be a citizen soldier, to serve locally as well as globally. Look into the benefits, including career skills and money for college. Take a moment. Go to NationalGuard.com today.
Sponsored by the Ohio National Guard, aired by the Ohio Association of Broadcasters and this station.
And we're back with Jason Dominguez, who is the Assistant Director of the Department of Veterans Services here in Ohio. We've been talking about services for our veterans. Jason, let's turn a corner here and talk about some of our older veterans. I know my father is a World War II veteran, and he really raves about the care he gets at his local medical clinic, that he's able to go and talk to the doctor there, and they've actually built a new facility there in the greater Akron area, and he enjoys going there, and he speaks highly of it. We've really made some progress over the last few years. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's we definitely have enjoyed as a state an expansion of what the VA calls CBOX. That stands for community-based outpatient clinics. So we're definitely blessed by that. The VA has definitely dumped a lot of operating dollars, construction dollars here in the state. Of course, that not only has created jobs, but also has expanded the services that goes to our veterans. Ohio, being the sixth largest veteran state in the country, could definitely use it. And on top of that, of course, the Ohio Veterans Homes, we're blessed to have the largest veterans home, the largest nursing home in the state, is also the Ohio Veterans Home in Sandusky. And then we have our newer veterans home that was built a few years ago down in Georgetown near Cincinnati. And we never run out of veterans who want to have a place at the Ohio Veterans Home, so we're blessed.
Well, what's the website where folks can go to learn more about what you're doing there at Department of Veterans Services here in Ohio? And maybe if they have questions for you as well, or they have some issues, how do they contact you?
Sure. Well, it's ohiovet.gov. It's easy to remember, ohiovet.gov. Also, while I have a chance, if I may, I just wanted to remind folks that the deadline to submit your to submit nominations for the Ohio Veterans Hall of Fame is coming up on June 30th. They can also find more information about how to submit someone to nominate them for the Ohio Veterans Hall of Fame at ohiovet.gov. And additionally, you can find information about the Ohio Veterans Bonus at ohiovet.gov or veteransbonus.ohio.gov. Or if you can call our 1-800 number, that's 877-OHIO-VET. That's 1-877-OHIO-VET, option 2. And we're closing in. December 31st, 2014 is the deadline for getting your application in if you're an Iraq veteran applying for the bonus. And December 31st of this year, 2013, is the deadline for any Persian Gulf veterans to apply for the bonus. So I encourage folks to get out there and take advantage of those resources.
How many have taken advantage of that bonus?
At this point, as far as folks have taken advantage of the bonus, over 66,000 have taken advantage of that bonus.
Here in Ohio?
Here in Ohio. And I know that we've had 76,000 Ohioans deployed to Iraq and Afghanistan since 9/11. And, of course, we also have folks who were part of Persian Gulf before that.
Well, it's a wonderful service that you do for our state and for our veterans, Jason. We so much appreciate you coming on today's program. It's been really a lot of great information. Thanks for give us the website one more time where folks can link on and find out what you're doing there with the Veterans Services of Ohio.
Absolutely, Chris. That's ohiovet.gov, ohiovet.gov.
Well, God bless you, my friend. Thank you for your service to our country and to our state and now serving our veterans. We wish you well.
Hey, thanks, Chris. God bless.
Again, that's been Jason Dominguez, who is the Assistant Director of the Department of Veterans Services of Ohio, and it's been my pleasure to have him on the program with us today. And, of course, there's really there's so much we can do for our veterans, and I like the idea of what they're streamlining with the discharge paper so that an electronic file so they can log on and see what benefits and services are there, because the bureaucracy keeps them really from some of the benefits that they're entitled to. Well, we want to give our opportunity for our book offer. Again, Jerry Corsi's book, Bad Samaritans, How the ACLU is Trying to Push Faith Out of the Public Square. If you're the first three callers, we'll get you a copy mailed out to you. And you can phone us at 330-887-1922. Leave a message if you can't get through to one of the staff, and we'll make sure that we send a copy out to you. Again, that's Jerry Corsi's book, Bad Samaritans. And we'll be with you next week. And here at Christian News and Focus, hope also log on to our website at ohioca.org to learn more about our organization. This is Chris Long. We'll see you next week. God bless.
You've been listening to Christian News in Focus with Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. For more information, please call 330-887-1922. That's 330-887-1922. Or visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Christian News in Focus is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, where Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 11. Sunday evening services are held at 6 p.m., and the Wednesday prayer and Bible study is at 6:30. Mantua Country Baptist Church is located at 12385 Chamberlain Road in Aurora, Ohio. To contact the church, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Thank you for listening, and be sure and tune in again next week at this time for another edition of Christian News in Focus with Chris Long.